Well, good morning. Thanks for going and sitting down. That's bitten me before, so I'm learning. I was prepared, but I'm glad you guys were ahead of me on that. So I feel like what I'm supposed to be up here to do is to say, "Hey, I've got a couple of announcements for you, and you know, we'll get through them pretty quick, and we'll get you out of here." But that's actually not what I'm here for today. So my name is Rob Wood. I'm part of the staff here at Higher Hope, and so I work with Pastor Mike and Pastor John, and I'm a resident, and so basically it's a pastoral training program, and so I get to work with Pastor Mike and Pastor John to get real-world experience in what it's like to be a pastor, as well as some training, and so one of the privileges that I get is the opportunity to come and share from the Word of God with you. And so I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, and I'm excited to get underway. So this morning, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and Lord willing, we're going to make our way through to chapter 16, and this records the reign of King Asa of Judah. And so what I hope to share with you this morning are some lessons that we could learn from the life of King Asa. And so you might be wondering, well, how in the world can we learn a lesson from, you know, a story that took place 3,000 years ago? Well, the Bible has an answer for us. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, don't have to turn there, we'll have it up on the screen. It says, "Such things were written in the Scripture long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled." And so what I hope you walk away with today is hope and encouragement that the promises of God are as true today as they were back then 3,000 years ago, and that they would have impact on our lives today. So this morning we're going to focus on a key verse or a key promise of God spoken to King Asa and to the people of Judah, but also spoken for you and I this morning. And that verse is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And so I really want to, I'm going to repeat that verse several times this morning, because I really want that promise to sink in. And so I'm going to read it one more time. "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." So before we go any further, let's pray and seek the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come before the people here at Higher Hope Church and to share from your word. And Father, though it's myself that speaks this morning, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be the one that would speak through me, and that it would reach the hearts of everyone here this morning. And Lord, that we would be encouraged by your promises that we know are true. And so, Father, again, I thank you for this time together. Father, may you be glorified in the proclamation of your word as we seek you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so if you haven't already, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse 2. And so it says, "Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and his commands. Asa also removed the pagan shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace during those peaceful years. During those peaceful years, he was able to build up the fortified towns throughout Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies." And so Judah at this time had been influenced by Israel's pursuit of other gods. And Asa, being a good king, he feared the Lord and followed his commands and began to rid Judah of all of these false idols and objects of worship. He also commanded all of the people to seek the Lord and to obey his commands. And so it's interesting, as I was searching, studying through this text this week, I like to look up what some of the words mean. And so this word seek in the passage is actually the verb darash, which is translated to mean either tread or to frequent. And so this idea of seeking the Lord can be described as making a path by repetitive use. And so I don't know if you remember when you were a kid, or perhaps you're still a kid or a kid at heart, but if you remember, you know, going sledding in the winter, and so you'd make your way up to the top of the hill, and you find out that you're the first one up there. And so there's no trails yet, there's no grooves yet made in the snow, and so you got to be the first one to make the groove in the snow. And so you make your way down the hill the first time, and you don't go very far, and you don't go very fast. But what you find is, the more that you go down that path, the deeper and wider that path becomes, and the faster and further you end up going. So to seek after God is to repeatedly pursue him through relationship with him. And that is through the frequent reading of his word, through prayer, meditation, and fasting. You see, God designed our brains to pursue and to seek after him, and to do it so often and so regularly that it just became a natural reaction. And so God created all things in this world that we would enjoy him and glorify him through them. But instead, because of our sin nature, the things that God designed to bring him glory often become the objects of our desires. And rather than terminating on the worship of God, they end up terminating on the object themselves. So I apologize if you've already had breakfast this morning, or if you're already ready for lunch, but just imagine if you had a nice, juicy steak in front of you with garlic mashed potatoes, if you like garlic. I like garlic. And some fresh green beans out of the garden. And so imagine, what if instead of simply enjoying the food, we took it a step further and turned the pleasure of eating the food into worship for God, for creating the food that tastes so good, and for creating our taste buds that allow us to enjoy them, and for even giving us the lifestyle that allows us to afford such a great meal. So what if we were to think that way time and time again and started to build those paths in our minds seeking after God? And so in 2011, I went on a missions trip to Haiti. And so we were building a hospital, the second floor of a hospital over there. And so all week long, all that we had to eat was goat, beans and rice, and fish with the head still on them. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time eating something that's looking back at me. So eventually we finished our work there, and we flew back into JFK. And when we got off the plane, we looked for the first place that we could find a place to eat. And so we found this place called Fuddruckers. Has anybody heard of Fuddruckers? All right. So it's like a make-your-own burger bar. And I'll tell you, I finally learned that day what Paul meant when he said, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. And I'm telling you, when I bit into that burger, it was just pure worship. It was so good. And honestly, it could have been the worst burger in the world. But, you know, after what we had eaten all week, it was just amazing. And so what if we were to think that way time and time again? But you see, this is exactly what Asa was commanding his people to do, to pursue God and to worship him in every aspect of their lives. And so as a result, God blessed them and Asa and the nation, and he gave them peace for a period of 10 years. Because you see, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so as we move on in our text, we're going to see that Asa is tested to see if he truly trusts his God, even when the odds are stacked against him. So we're going to be in verse 9, if you want to jump down there. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Marashah, so Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley north of Marashah. Now listen, Asa at this time only had an army of about 580,000 men. And he was about to go up against an army of 1 million men. And so Asa was laughably outnumbered, nearly 2 to 1. So let's see how Asa responds. Verse 11. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you." So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. And so Asa knew that he had no chance against such a vast army. Yet the people had been pursuing the Lord, putting away false idols and obeying the commands of God, and they remembered that God had given them peace during this time. And so Asa knew that the only way that he was going to overcome this battle is if the Lord was on his side. And was he ever? I love it in verse 12 that says, "The Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah." And so though Judah was prepared for battle, right? Asa brought his troops out. They were prepared to fight this battle. God didn't even let them fight. But God defeated the army on their behalf. And that once vast army fled. So let me ask you, when things get tough in your life and your back's up against the wall, what's the first thing you turn to? I mean, sure, we pray, but sometimes we even think that, boy, I'm not even sure God can get me out of this mess that I got myself into. And so sometimes God places impossible situations in front of us to remind us that we need to go to him. Paul even says in 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8, says that they had despised of even life itself, but that was to remind them to rely on God and not on themselves. Because you see, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so as Asa returns from the battle, he's met by a prophet of God. And so we're going to pick up reading in chapter 15, made it through one chapter, so we're moving along here. So chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. "Listen to me, Asa," he shouted. "Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you." And so Asa was encouraged and emboldened by the words of the prophet. And therefore, Asa, knowing that God had not only given them a period of peace, but also delivered them from the mighty army of the Ethiopians, he decided that he was going to double down on his reforms. So let's look in verse 9. And see how he does that. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled there among them. For many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder that they had taken in the battle. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all of their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram horns sounding. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all of their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. So don't you just love that? I mean, the prophet told them that if they stayed with God, that God would stay with them. And if they sought the Lord, that he would be found by them. Well, so in verse 15, it says, the people earnestly sought after God, and they found him. So God keeps his promises. Amen? Amen? Amen. And not only that, but God gave them yet another period of peace in their land. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, come to me, or seek me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let me ask you, did you come in this morning needing rest for your souls? Did you come to church this morning carrying heavy burdens? Let me tell you, Jesus wants to give you rest from the battles that are going on in your life. Because you see, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so can you honestly say that your hearts are fully committed to him this morning? I surely can't. Perhaps there's secret idols in your life drawing your attention away from the Lord, your God. And so, listen, I don't mean to step on any toes here this morning. Maybe a little. But there's some of us in here who can rattle off sports stats faster than we can rattle off a Bible verse. For others, you may be obsessed with a hobby. You may be overly driven in your job. That was certainly me at one point. Or how about this one? You're so buried in ministry work that you find it hard just to get some time alone with God. I've been there too. See, idols come in all forms, shapes, and sizes, and they are anything that we might elevate over God in our life. And honestly, they need to go. You see, if we continue to leave the idols in their place, we're never going to be able to seek the Lord our God with all of our heart, because our hearts are going to be divided. You see, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Half-hearted commitment isn't going to get us there. So let me ask you, are you tired of half-hearted commitment to God? Are you tired of sitting on the sidelines, afraid of entering into all that God may have for you? So following the example of Asa, what I'd like to do this morning, so I would just like to call on us. First, I had to call on myself that I need to seek after the Lord with all of my heart. And so I want to call on our church, call on Higher Hope, and ask if you would commit yourself to seeking after the Lord. And so I just want to take a moment here and give us an opportunity to pray. Some, or perhaps even many of us, have some serious business to do with the Lord this morning. I know I do. I know that I have idols in my life that keep me from fully seeking the Lord with all of my heart. And I know that I don't do it often. And so here's what I want to do. I just want to welcome each of you to join in a few moments of prayer. And so I'm just going to ask you to bow your head and just spend a little bit of time talking with the Lord and asking him what he would have you do. Would he have you commit yourself to seeking after him? And so after about a minute or so of praying, I'll pray, and then we'll finish out this message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for those here this morning who have committed themselves to seeking after you. And Father, we thank you for your promise that when we seek after you, we will find you. And Father, I know that so often the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us. Give us the courage. Give us the ability to be faithful. Because we know that your eyes search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to you. Father, may that be us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I wish that this was the end of Asa's story. I wish that we could just jump right to chapter 16, go down to verse 13 and say, so he died in the 41st year of his reign. He was buried in the tomb that he had carved out for himself in the city of David, and he was laid on a bed of perfume with sweet spices and fragrant ointments, and the people built a huge funeral in his honor. Isn't that the way you want this story to end? However, you know, this is one of the things that you just love about the Bible, that it never hides the harsh truths of our sinful nature. And so when we left the story, God had just given Asa a 25 more years of peace from all of his enemies. But just as before, God sends another test to see if his heart is still fully committed to him. So let's pick up in chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. And Asa responded by calling on the name of the Lord. Is that what it says? No. Asa responded by removing the silver and the gold from the treasuries of the temple and from the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message. Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone. And so you might be thinking to yourself, so what? What's the big deal? I mean, this even sounds like a pretty good idea, right? That you create an alliance with another king and perhaps not even need to go into battle at all. But wait, when Asa went up against an army of 1 million men, who fought for him? Wasn't it God and his army? And so for 36 years now, Asa had been imploring the people of Judah to seek the Lord, and when they sought him, he was found by them. So what happened? Well, unfortunately, the same thing that tends to happen to us at times. When things are going well in our lives, we tend to become complacent and self-reliant. We start to believe that the things that God has given us We start to believe that things are going well because of our own efforts, our own intellect, our own skill, and we sometimes fail to seek the Lord in prosperity and get the idea that we can handle it on our own. I mean, sure, when Asa was up against an army of 1 million soldiers, Asa recognized his inability to defeat an army so large. But now, having gained wealth, territory, people, and experience as king, Asa felt like he could handle this attack from King Baasha on his own. And so that's exactly what he does. And so how about you? I mean, perhaps you couldn't relate to Asa's earlier story because you feel like your life is pretty much all together. I mean, so maybe you've been through Financial Peace University and your finances are in really great shape. Perhaps you're relatively healthy. You have a great job that you really love. Or perhaps you're even retired and you have more time on your hands. Listen, if that's you, that's great. And I'm so glad that God has blessed you in that way. And to be honest, please hear me say this, there is nothing wrong with it. Just this one warning. When things are going well, we tend to rely less on God and more on the resources that God has provided us with. Remember that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And so God sends another prophet to Asa, but this time with a different message. So jump down to verse 7 in chapter 16. At this time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa and told him, "Because you have put the trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened when the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you." And so here now is our key verse, but now with full context. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. And so not only would God have given victory over the king of Israel, but God would have also handed over the king of Aram to him as well. And so are you missing out on some of the blessings of God for failure to bring your battles before him? Or maybe are you in the midst of a battle right now and you feel like you're just not making any ground? Perhaps you're dealing with an illness. Perhaps you're dealing with a child or a spouse that's walked away from you or walked away from God. Perhaps your finances are a wreck and you're not sure how you're going to make your next mortgage payment. I list these three because they've all been true of me at different stages. And I have to admit and repent of the fact that in those times, I did not seek the Lord my God with all of my heart, trusting that he alone could rescue me from the situation that I was facing. And I think to myself now, as the prophet said to Asa, what a fool I had been. Because the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And I'd wished I had known that. So as we come to a close on the life of Asa, God gives him one more chance to turn back to him. And so verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. And so he died in the 41st year of his reign. So what a tragedy that this man's life had become. He started out so well in his early days as king. He was devoted to the Lord. He tore down the offensive idols throughout his nation. He called upon his people to seek after God. And when they did, God blessed them immensely. But listen, even in Asa's eventual hardened heart, God continued to pursue him, just as he is continuing to pursue each and every one of us here this morning. And so if you can relate to this story, if you've wandered away from the Lord, remember that unlike Asa, your final chapter hasn't been written yet. You see, God's a God of second chances. And so turn to him this morning and seek him with your whole heart, and he promises that he will be found by you. Because you see, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this story and for the lessons that we have learned from the life of King Asa. And Father, I pray for every one of us here, just not knowing where each and every person is. There's some of us who are high on the hill and some of us who are low in the valley. But Father, every one of us needs you. And so Father, I just pray that we would collectively come together with knitted hearts and that we would seek you with all of our hearts, trusting that you can bring us through whatever challenges we have going on in our lives, whether things are going well or whether things are just a wreck. And so, Father, I thank you for your promise that when we seek you, that we will find you. So, Lord, I just pray that that would be true of us this morning. I pray that we would seek you with all of our hearts and that we would find you this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.